This year marks the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, December 7, 2012, marking the 150th anniversary of the battle at Prairie Grove. Dr. Gregory Benton is the outdoor recreation specialist in the Recreation and Sport Management program at the University of Arkansas. Heritage interpretation is one of his academic specialty areas. Over the past year, he has been conducting research as to why people participate in historical reenactments. I spoke with Dr. Benton earlier this week. He began our conversation by explaining the different roles involved in such events.
Reenactors are the people who actually portray events, and then living history practitioners are the people that dress up and portray a way of life, not at a specific event. So both will be on hand. Every 2 years, Prairie Grove celebrates the battle, and so on the even years, they will actually stage the battle on the first Saturday and Sunday of December. And so this year, it's December 1st and 2nd.
So in addition to actually reenacting the battle, there are also participants there that are cooking and camping.
Yes.
And
they have, civilian camps are a big part of what the public are allowed to tour before the battles themselves. And, of course, it's cooking, medical, spinners. There are all sorts of male and female living history participants that are showing that way of life. And then the spectators stand behind safety lines during the battles themselves. And so visitors get to speak with reenactors and living history participants in the camps where they'll be cooking. They'll have accoutrements, all of the canteens and special swords and horses and rifles. And it's a wonderful trip back into time. It's quite accurate, and that's an important thing to the reenactors. To them, it's a very serious hobby. And there's no organization or oversight, really. They're sort of loosely connected because of this passion for a leisure. You know, it's in their free time. And so,
you interviewed reenactors to kind of mm-hmm. to find out why they do this, why they're so passionate about it, correct?
These are reenactors events that are going to be in dress, of course, for the battle. And so I interviewed a dozen of them before the battle, of course, because they're going to be very busy down on Saturday and Sunday. And I asked them, you know, why – essentially they're doing a public service. They are acting as interpreters. They're educating people, portraying history, and yet they're not in uniform. They're not employed by the park. They often spend a lot of their own time and money. It's an expensive hobby. And so I interviewed them to ask them how they first got into reenacting and, you know, what makes them tick. And
Well, you said that they are interpreters. And so what do you mean by that? They just are they're interpreting these historical moments for the public?
Well, at most parks and protected areas, zoos, aquariums, you have people known as guides, docents. They interpret heritage, which is everything that we've inherited, human culture and natural culture and human history. And so a lot of parks, there'll be a uniformed or a volunteer park ranger who gives interpretive programs. But with these reenactments, it's basically the public interpreting to the public. These are people that have taken upon themselves to study first-hand sources, journals, diaries, action reports of the soldiers to learn what they've learned. And they are portraying this to visitors the same way an interpreter would, but it's at this grand-scale event. And it's one-on-one in the camps, and so there's a lot of neat one-on-one interaction that the public will get to.
So what did you find in talking to these participants?
I found some really interesting sort of themes, as I call them, for their some of these people certainly were, they are, if they're from the South, that they had members of their family were in the Civil War. So I found some of that, and many of them checked their genealogy and their family history to find out, you know, some of them had both sides, had family members in both sides of the war. Some people were actually looking for a hobby. They were looking for something social to do with somebody and didn't necessarily have Civil War background in their family. A couple of these reenactors had gone to a mall and seen like at a recruiting office somebody dressed up and got involved that way, had a husband and wife who both loved horses and ended up both reenacting in the cavalry. And there were some ladies that dressed as men in order to be able to fight because they weren't allowed in battle. So there were several different reasons for people getting into this. Some of it, there was a theme of, you know, people especially from the South that got one version of American history in public schools, share a different version of history that they have learned from reading first accounts of the war. Many of these reenactors do dress up on both sides. And we find that in the North as well, that it's to some people who won or lost is very important, but to others it's a hobby and you want to make it as real as possible.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, I mean, it was a battle. So there were people from the North and the South. I mean, to make it realistic.
Another thing I found about this group of people is that this is a regional event, the Prairie Grove Battle. It's not very well known in the major history of the Civil War, other than the fact that it was sort of the last time that the Confederates threatened Kansas and Missouri and northwest Arkansas. But many of these reenactors go to national events as well. And so that there's actually a little bit of a pattern of some of these smaller events offering reenactors more of an opportunity to interact with the public. So I asked, you know, each one of these are a series of questions, and so I sort of explored whether they liked the regional battles more or the national events, and almost all of them had advantages to both. This is going to be a large showing, you know, with it being the sesquicentennial at Prairie Grove. So we're expecting something around a couple thousand reenactors, perhaps.
That many reenactors?
Yeah. Normally there's 500 to 750, and some of this I read from the park website, but they're expecting over 1,000 reenactors.
How do they organize that?
Well, Holly Hauser spends about a year on the off years organizing the several units. I mean, you've got Union and Confederate groups, cavalry and artillery and infantry, and so it takes a long time to put on a lot of organization. And also there's lots of children that, you know, under 16, you can't fire a weapon until you're 16 years old at a reenactment in Arkansas. So there are a few rules like that, but there will be young people as well in dress and portraying that way of life. And
so I wanted to ask that if there was an age range, you know, if more of these of the people participating were older. But you just said that there's 16-year-olds participating.
Well,
did you have a chance to talk to teenagers at all?
Well, I did ask all the reenactors about recruiting. One of the last questions I asked them, is there a danger of this hobby? And I mean, the average Confederate soldier was under the age of 20, and the average age of most reenactors are in the mid-40s, and it is sort of a male-dominated hobby. But I asked them whether they make a purpose of recruiting, and essentially when they are at events and they're interacting with the public, if they meet somebody who seems interested, then they sort of explain they have a packet of what's required, but they don't aggressively try to recruit. I mean, it is a hobby, but there are various ways of people getting interested in it, and it is a fascinating, you know, if you like the outdoors and want a glimpse into a simpler way of life. I mean, the values were so different back then, and many of these reenactors do take these programs into the schools, and young people are amazed at how different, it's very difficult for them to understand how different life was back then.
Right. Well, I have trouble dealing with how different things are now just from when I was growing up. So I can, imagine how different things were, 150 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the forced marches and the lack of medical supplies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I found out when I started asking the reenactors about reeducating was that For many in the South, it was a way of, you know, they were protecting their way of life and states' rights. And ultimately, it was people who were trying to protect their homes.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Fayetteville and have been to the park. You know, we took field trips. You know, I remember going there a couple of times. And then, of course, my family, we always go to the Prairie Grove Clothesline Fair.
Uh-huh.
But I've never been to a reenactment, so it's kind of exciting.
Yes. Visitors will be directed to parking areas, and the Borden House still is a primary focus for the battle. There'll be a couple rushes up the hill between the Union and Confederates, and a majority of the battle does take place in the valley. But visitors, you know, if they show up, you know, about an hour or so early, I'd encourage people to show up, 9-10 o'clock in the morning to really experience.
To walk around and see
the camps. There'll be Sutler's Row, which is there all sorts of artifacts, authentic, you know, clothing, musket balls, all sorts of things, recipes from and examples of the spinners and the weavers. So there's a great opportunity to find some stocking stuffers there as well as and getting involved in the hobby. I mean, this really is something that It's true that people don't know their history are liable to repeat it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Benton.
Thank you, Christina.
Okay.
See you Saturday.
Yep. Dr. Gregory Benton is an assistant professor in the Recreation and Sport Management program at the University of Arkansas. He has conducted interviews with Civil War reenactors, but he also has an interest in why the public attends such events. He will be asking attendees about contacting them after the events this weekend. Battles begin at 1 o'clock both Saturday and Sunday at the Prairie Grove Battlefield. Dr. Benton suggests arriving early. This is Ozarks at Large.